This tax season, $5.61 billion is headed right back to our pockets, courtesy of the Oregon Kicker Tax Credit, designed to control state spending by returning unanticipated extra revenue back to taxpayers. This will be the largest kicker in Oregon's history by far. But I don't know, don't you wonder why our state economists were so far off? And why we don't just use that money on all the stuff Oregon really needs, like mental health services, housing, or funding schools? So today on CityCast Portland, OPB politics and government reporter Dirk Vanderhart is walking us through the hows and whys of the Oregon kicker law and hopefully sharing with us how he's spending his rebate. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. Dirk, what's your son's name?
Hugo.
Hugo. Like the jeans?
Oh, Hugo Boss?
Yeah.
I think he does more than jeans, and I guess so. That's one of many Hugos.
That's cool. So what is the kicker, and why do we have it?
Yeah. The kicker is a pretty unique to Oregon policy. It is a tax refund that is accessed anytime the forecasts that Oregon lawmakers use to set their budget. So every 2 years we set a budget to figure out how much we might have to spend. We ask the state's economist how much they expect we will reap in tax revenues over the next 2 years. And we use that forecast to figure out what we want to spend that money on. Anytime that economist gets things wrong to the point that we make a lot more money than they expected, 2% or more on top of what they expected, all that excess money comes back. So in essence, all the money that the state took in its general fund taxes, excluding business taxes, that it didn't figure it would have to spend and therefore didn't budget for, all comes back to the taxpayer. This is a mechanism that emerged in the late 70s at a time when, kind of like now, inflation was sort of gripping the nation. People were really freaked out about escalating taxes and actually were revolting in some cases. In California, there was this really sweeping property tax measure that freaked a lot of people in Oregon out. And so to get ahead of it, they sort of proactively passed some tax relief for folks. And then they also threw in this kicker, which no one really paid attention to at the time. But what has become clear is that the kicker is, it's an ever greater sort of factor in our budgeting. We have seen it kick each time for the last five budgets. So for the last decade, we've had a kicker, and it's grown and grown and grown, which I'm guessing is why you wanted to talk about it this morning.
Yeah. Did you know that Hugo Boss also supplied and made Nazi uniforms? I just found out.
And that's not why I named my son that.
I figured this isn't a gotcha interview.
And by the way, I love that, like, as I'm like trying to educate and go over all my knowledge, what you're very clearly doing is just Wikipediaing Hugo Boss and not necessarily paying any attention to what I'm saying.
I paid attention. I totally heard what you said.
There's also Hugo Chavez, the sort of dictatorial former leader of Venezuela. I mean, maybe not the best.
That's all I'm
saying. There's probably plenty of not great Hugos in history, but I bet there's plenty of great Hugos. And you know what? Don't let me start looking up monstrous Claudias.
Okay.
Because I will.
I mean, you're looking at one right now. So like, okay. Yes, of course you're here because we have a huge kicker this year. How big was it exactly?
So it was $5.6 billion, right? And let me just like be very clear. That is an insanely large kicker, right? Like back in 2008, we got basically a $1 billion kicker. That was monstrous at that point. In 2019, we set another record. It was about $1.7 billion. Then we went to 1.9. That was huge.
Right.
But this year, we are sending back $5.6 billion. It's around a fifth of the general fund that we are returning to people. And basically, it means, Claudia, that like almost half of the entire taxes you paid to the state of Oregon last year, assuming you paid taxes to the state of Oregon last year, are coming back to you this year in the form of this refund, which is wild.
So is it just one economist that decides like, oh, this is how much we're going to make? Is it a group of economists? Because how could they be off more than like $5 billion?
Yeah, that's a big question. Let's take it in a couple parts. The way this works is super wonky, as you might expect, but we do have a person who works as the state economist. His name is Mark McMullen. What he will tell you is he spends about a month every time he works up one of these forecasts, and they release them every 3 months. So That's a lot of time out of his job. But essentially what he does is he talks to experts, right? He looks at national economic forecasts. He tries to figure out how that might play into the various industries that play a large role in Oregon's tax code. He speaks with other economists. He speaks with industry experts. And then at the end of the day, he comes and he says, here is my best guess for how all these factors that we're looking at in the economy and all these unknowns about what the future might hold could overlay into Oregon's tax code and therefore what we might expect for taxes coming in. Now, like I said, he does that every 3 months, but the time this super, super matters is toward the end of sessions on May and odd years, because that is the forecast where the rubber sort of meets the road. It's the last forecast before lawmakers create a budget, and therefore it's sort of the moment frozen in time by which the kicker is locked in, right? That's the guess that's going to matter most when compared against the revenues we actually get to figure out whether or not a kicker is going to trigger.
Yeah. Here's the deal, Dirk. I know to the taxpayer, we're just like, oh, cool, a kicker. But do you think he gets privately dunked on? Like, everyone's oh, nice job, bud.
Not just that. I mean, I talked to him a number of times for a story we ran late last year. And he was like, $5.6 billion, I wouldn't be surprised if heads have to roll. Like, he's taking it very seriously. And heads, I believe he means himself. But he has not been fired. And let's just, so.
Now I feel bad that I made a joke. I didn't think.
No, it's okay. But this is a super complex thing. And there are a couple things that happened here. The first is that Oregon, just by its nature, has a very, very hard tax code to predict for a number of reasons. The first is we do a two-year budget, right? So he is forced to look 2 years into the future and be like, and figure out or guess how much money we're going to be making in that time. That's a lot harder than a one-year budget, which most states use. The second is Oregon is insanely, I guess I'll say, reliant on income taxes as part of its overall budget picture, right? A lot of states have what are known as a three-legged stool for their tax bases. They have an income tax, they have a property tax, and they have a sales tax. But Oregon voters have showed again and again and again, I forget how many times voters have rejected the idea of a sales tax here. And what that has done is, one, made it so it's cheaper to go shopping and you're not paying 8% or whatever, but it's also created a tax system that is more subject to wild fluctuations, because as the economy improves or gets worse, income taxes tend to sort of fluctuate wildly. And that means that our tax revenue base fluctuates wildly. Whereas if you have a sales tax built in, that is often seen as far, far more stable and therefore easier to predict. The other thing is the pandemic just kind of messed everyone up, right? Because if you remember, like 2020, everyone's at home. People are getting fired. Businesses are closing. It looks like a sort of tax massacre, right? Where economists were expecting that things were really going to take a hit. But over the course of a two-year budget, actually that didn't happen. And rich people actually continued making a lot of money. And because Oregon has a progressive tax system where rich people pay more than people with lower incomes, that actually helped ensure that we made money during the pandemic a lot more than we were expecting before the pandemic. So, you know, to be fair to Mark McMullen, not many people I talked to for a pretty long look at this not that long ago blamed him. I think there is a wide acknowledgement. In fact, there was like some proclamation in Salem that called being the state economist the most thankless or toughest job that you can hold. Like, it's just, it's rough, man. You're putting your reputation next to a number that's never going to be correct.
Right. Okay, well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, why Oregon isn't keeping the kicker money and funding needed public services. So let's talk about like the people who are advocating we instead put the kicker money back into more social services and things. What's wrong with giving the money back to taxpayers? I mean, I know this isn't your soapbox to stand on, but I'm just, you know, what's up with that?
I mean, yeah, on one level, like there are a segment of Democrats who feel like just because one guy got his guess wrong doesn't mean we should have to give back $5.6 billion. It's not like, you know, we are taxing people more than we should have and we got our hand caught in the cookie jar and all of a sudden we have to give it back, right? It's one guy's guess that was wildly wrong. And as a result, a huge amount of the money that the state's tax code is bringing in is going away. So there are, you know, Democrats you talk to that say, well, let's look at the things that we're not funding, right? We are not funding schools to the level we know we should.
Right.
We have an enormous homeless and housing crisis. We can't fund the mental health services or the addiction services that we need.
Yeah, I mean, almost worse in the country, baby.
We have a public defense crisis. And they're like, why would we give this money back when we have all these pressing problems? But Republicans are very adamant and have been since really the kicker was created that this is one of the only checks we have on government growth. And the people are going to spend that money more wisely than the government, which is probably going to waste it on some ineffective programs that don't work, right? Mm-hmm. So they are very adamant that this money should go back. We should live within our means. We budgeted for the budget that we set, and we made $5.6 billion more than that. And guess what? We set our budget, and that $5.6 billion can go back to the people. And by the way, that's pretty popular with most of the population, right? Like I said, we've had a kicker. Every biennium for the last decade, that means every other year, Oregonians have gotten what is basically a tax cut. It's nice, right? You file your Oregon taxes and there's a big old refund waiting for you, especially this year.
I think average was like 2K or something like that. You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's just,
or more.
It's pretty insane. And so, you know, the other thing here is that because the kicker is now a piece of the Constitution, it is in that document, lawmakers right. can't get rid of it. Like, they would need to ask voters to get rid of it. And guess what? Like, John Q. Public, who's getting 5K back this year because of the kicker, probably isn't that excited to check that box on a ballot.
So that would be basically changing the Oregon Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to get rid of it. You would have to change the Constitution. I think the people that argue for getting rid of the kicker acknowledge that that's a non-starter. I don't think anyone believes that voters would approve that. And that's why we haven't seen any real effort to do that, because you know, you would need to get the signatures to put it on the ballot if the legislature didn't refer it to the ballot. And then you'd have to try to sell it to voters to get it out of the Constitution. And that's just not seen as politically pragmatic. There's another way that you can impact the kicker, though, which is that anytime the kicker kicks, actually the legislature can vote to suspend it. They can say, $5.6 billion, we need that $5.6 billion. Or we want to take $2 billion of that $5.6 billion because we have all these pressing problems. But that takes a high bar vote. It takes two-thirds of lawmakers in each chamber to vote for that, which is a lot. And that means it takes Republican votes in each chamber just because of the balance of power and how that works. And Republicans aren't playing that game. I mean, they feel like even if they open up the door to suspend a part of the kicker for a very worthy cause that they might agree with, they are unleashing a Pandora's box. Like, there's a slippery slope argument. And so they have held strong and said, no, we're not touching this.
Has it ever happened?
Yes. Yeah. In like dire tax times, I think it was like the 90s, the legislature suspended the kicker a couple times to help balance the budget. But again, like minuscule kickers compared to the $5.6 billion.
How much money did you get back, Dirk? Are you able to say?
Oh, I'm not able to say. I got a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
I mean,
for
it was
you.
Like not that far from the median that you, okay. that you said, but like for me, that was nice.
Can you tell me what you're spending it on or if you have any ideas for it?
Oh, daycare. If you don't know, maybe you guys should do a podcast on the daycare desert that we live in and how everything is a very, very pricey hell for people that have small children.
You're spending it on Hugo.
Yes.
That's a noble way to spend it.
I have no choice.
I got a little less because I do contract work. Mm-hmm. So my kicker went to pay for my federal income tax and my CPA, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I think I might get $50 back, and yeah.
From the Oregon?
I mean, altogether once I pay all the other taxes, you know.
Well, that's a bummer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you feel sorry for me.
I do.
You know, Dirk, thank you for talking through that. Is there anything that you feel like, oh, this is an important thing to know about the kicker? Or
I would just point, shameless plug, like I would point to this story we ran in December where I was really interested in one of the questions you asked, Claudia, which is, why do we keep seeing these kickers? Why do they keep getting worse? And is it true that we just suck? Like that mm-hmm. Oregon just sucks at predicting its revenues, or is something else going on? One thing we didn't talk about is like, we did talk to people who have sort of compared how Oregon's guesses and the reality of taxes line up to other states, right? And it does turn out that we are kind of in the lower tier. Like we're worse than most other states at doing this, but that's again, like, not something anyone blames. Well, some people throw shade about that. Like, the state's largest union, public employee union, SEIU, created this whole document basically asking the governor to fire the state economist. Mm. That didn't go anywhere. A lot of other people say he's just got a thankless job and we have a really hard tax code and you can't really blame him for the stuff going on with the pandemic.
I don't know, man. It's, yeah, definitely. So everyone's going, oh, it was the pandemic. But if this happens again, let's say 4 years, you know, from now, is anyone going to be like, all right, Mark. I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah. And
also, like, Oregon, not good at math. It's a little embarrassing.
It's not. Yeah, I can't say it's quite that simple, though.
I don't know.
I would say that with every forecast every 3 months, we are being updated about whether or not we're approaching a kicker, right? Like, the question now is, will we kick again? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a big kicker or a small kicker. And one very interesting little side note to that is that has not been helped by the fact that we had a very, very lucky Oregonian win $1.3 billion from the Powerball, the Mega Millions or whatever it was, mm-hmm. because that's going to inject something like $60 million potentially into the state's yeah. coffers, which, like, could put us over the edge if we're really close.
Are we going to get all kickers? Are we going to get a Powerball kicker? Because that would be amazing.
A $5.6 billion kicker is not, I think we're very, very unlikely to ever see it again. But man, I've been surprised before.
I'm glad that your life is full of surprises. I wanted to ask you a question. Don't shake your head at me. Okay, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you heard of 503 Day?
No.
So it is a holiday where we as Portlanders get to celebrate Portland and all that it is to be a Portlander. And it's on May 3rd, 503. Get it?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I never heard that. I actually, many years ago, it sounds like now, if you're familiar with the store Top to Bottom, it's over by like the Safeway. Uh-huh. I bought some like very, very fake blinged out 503 earrings because my ears are pierced. So I think they're still around somewhere. They like infect my ears whenever I put them in, but maybe I'll put them in on May 3rd.
You're like, they turn my ears black every time I put them on. Well, if you think of anything other than the earrings, we'd love to hear from you, Derek.
Definitely the earrings. I mean,
yeah. I mean, oh, absolutely perfect.
I'll let you know.
And now for some events happening this week. Every Thursday on the show, we like to bring you recommendations for a few events to help you plan your weekend. Here's what we got. This Saturday, the Rebuilding Center is hosting a free Earth Day reused craft fair featuring local artisans and creators who focus their work around sustainability. It goes from 11 to 5, and it looks super cute and easy to drop by if you're already on Mississippi. And Portland Mercury's Pizza Week is underway and runs through Sunday, so you'll still have a chance to try some inventive slices from all your favorites like Scotty's and Baby Doll. This year, 46 pizza parlors are participating, so there's a lot to choose from. For lunch today, I'm actually trying Signal Station's Hit Me, Bon Me One More Time. And if you're into motorcycle, track racing, stunts, or just having a good time, the One Moto Show is starting today and running through the weekend at the Zedell Yards. And it's not just motorcycles. There will be art, BMX shows, skate competitions, vendors, food, and music. Also, their opening nights are always epic. For even more local events and news, sign up for our daily newsletter, Hey Portland. We'll throw all links in the show notes. Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.